So you went back and visited your grandma. It was your uncle's idea, and so your uncle sort of bought the tickets for you, and you went back to China to study.
Yes.
And you stayed with your grandma?
Yes. It was, my mom and dad was born and raised here. Mom, I don't know how grandma went, came here and went back. That was never brought up every day.
Yeah, but your father was born in...
In Frisco, mama was born in the same place. And of course, grandma didn't ever see us, so they sent us back to see her.
Uh-huh.
And when I went back there, it was awful funny, as they used to say. Fanquitoy, which means poor devil.
Fanquitoy? Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So everything was strange, you know, our ways and old ways entirely different, because I was raised on the ranch and wasn't used to the Chinese custom and Chinatown ways. But grandma lived to be 82 years old. She passed away when I was there.
Oh.
And we had that hopping, or what they call it, like priest doing all that ceremony of praying and back and forth. So it was a good experience. I grew up there that 1 year.
I see. So how did your grandmom live on the money your father sent back? But of course your father at that time already passed away.
Yeah,
so you, how about your uncle?
Uncle sent money back.
Was that time your grandmom lived pretty well because of the money from the United States?
Oh yes, she had quite a bit of property back there. Grandpa, I believe my dad's side, was over here, and they both went back there pretty wealthy.
Oh.
They bought property, and they built a home.
Mm-hmm.
Their houses are all two bedrooms and a parlor. So it was pretty good condition when I was back there.
Oh.
But he had bought quite a bit of property, and they rented it out for sharecropping so much, and like rice and things like vegetables that needed to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And a little money that the uncle sent back was enough for stay.
So did your uncle ever return to China though? Or your uncle didn't go back?
Oh yes, he went back. He got married. He was one. He brought his wife over here in 1918.
And he stayed in the United States since.
And he has grown sons here now. His family.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away.
Uh-huh.
He passed away in 1942.
Did you ever meet your grandfather on your father's side before you returned?
He passed away quite a while.
But when you were born, he wasn't here already.
No.
He already returned to China.
Long before that.
I see. So you went back to this village. Was this village most of the people had children over in the United States, or only like your grandfather's family came to the United States?
I'd say about 30 families had people over here.
Oh.
Some of them came over to work on the railroads.
So were these people all pretty well off and wealthy people, what you would say?
In their standards, they were well off.
Yeah, at that time, sure. Uh-huh. So that's very interesting. So you were treated very well then, because you just returned from the United States, and you attend school there, and most people treat you sort of a little differently at school.
They all treated us differently.
Uh-huh.
I was a big, 15, 16 years old, I guess. And all the kids were just 10, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old.
Uh-huh. And then you
I was doing
spoke,
all first grades.
Uh-huh. And you spoke Chinese at that time with these people?
Yes,
or?
We spoke a little Chinese. I still speak
English over there.
Well, you couldn't speak English. There's nobody to talk to.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I see. That's very interesting experience. And you, after your grandma passed away, you decided to come over here.
We came back.
Uh-huh. And besides your grandma, who were your relatives over there when you were there?
Just cousins, the name.
Oh, you
cousins.
Have a cousins. Uh-huh.
Our village is back there is all Wu's.
Uh-huh.
Five villages of Wu's. See.
Uh-huh. I see. So all related to each
yes.
other. But your father has only one brother, or
one brother.
I see. So all the cousins are not the
first cousins, second cousins.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I see. Do you still communicate with them, or in the 30s when you came back, did you write to them and say?
No.
Because they are not very close.
Well, I never did learn how to write.
I see. Yeah. So you never really have to communicate with them.
No.
Mm-hmm. So how did you meet your wife? You got married here in Los Angeles.
I got married in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, I see. So your wife is from Las Vegas, Honolulu. I see. So you met over Southern California.
No, I met her in Honolulu.
Honolulu. Mm. Why you decide to go to Honolulu to find a wife?
Don't look for wives. You look for pleasure.
Uh-huh. Oh, it's because you went there for...
Yeah, for a bowling tournament. So we met.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. When did you get married, may I ask?
Long time ago.
Uh-huh. So when you were... you already established your business a little bit here.
Oh, yes.
So, uh-huh. So did your wife work, though, since you got... you married her? She start working, or she's... I noticed that she works now.
No.
Uh-huh. Stay home and...
When she was raising the family, she stayed home. Uh-huh. She kept the family up to...
She come here and help.
Happily... We have two older daughters. See, one is 41 and one is 40.
Uh-huh.
And then we skipped 27, we'll be 28, and Faye, the smallest one, is 26.
Oh.
So it's a lag in between, a long time in between the having families.
I see.
Two families, first and second.
Uh-huh.
But we enjoyed ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard to say. If she worked or didn't, she worked yes and didn't work yes.
right, uh-huh, yeah. But most of the time, it just helped the family business.
Yes.
I mean, this is becoming a family business.
No, it was then more of a family business, and now, since mm-hmm. then, I have incorporated.
Oh.
And
so you did
talk to the cousins and mm-hmm. cousin-in-law.
I see. So you do have partners.
No,
in a way.
Stock orders, yes.
Uh-huh. But even the partners are within the families, the relatives.
All but one.
Uh-huh.
One is a Japanese friend.
Uh-huh.
Right. Been with me for 30 to 45 to now.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
I see. When did you join the union?
I didn't join the union.
Yeah, you don't have to because you are
well,
the
owner.
Yeah, I mean, but before you, you always were your own,
boss.
I mean, your boss, and until you hire people also. And so you, last time you mentioned you are the members of Associate Produce Dealers and Brokers of Los Angeles.
Well,
and you were the president.
That started when the union was formed, so we formed the association.
Uh-huh. It's about the same time.
Just about the same time.
Uh-huh.
Members of the association.
Since
in order to meet the union's demands and arbitrate
yes.
to stay as whole.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And we've been a member ever since.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And you serve as a president?
I served as a director for quite a few years. And then the association at that time was a membership, but was not incorporated. And I think in 1960, they elect me as a president for the place. And then that was when I incorporated the association.
Oh, and that's a lot of contribution then.
It's a non-profit organization.
And do you start still pretty active in the organization? Or?
No, I retired. Semi-retired.
So, but you still pay the due, or you?
Oh yes, you still have to pay dues. Still have special meetings that we go up to. I go up to. Say they have a board of directors meeting once a month. And anything that comes up that is essential to the trade, they call special meetings. So, it's a nice association.
Oh yeah. Did every owners actually join?
No, I think 95% of them joined.
I see. And how much was the due at the first when you formed? Was any due involved?
Very little. So you had to have a secretary and have rep for a place. It was very little due. Now it's I think it's so much per head that you employ and have working for you.
Oh, it's according to how many
employees. Which is fair. The bigger you are, the more you have to pay.
You're probably dealing more problems.
Yes, now they we have insurance on that and union matters and all agriculture matters and laws that they send in. We have our own lobbyists up in Sacramento taking care of freight things.
Was that the lobbyist was there when you started to form the association, or is it only the recent development?
It started in the late 50s.
I see. So you mentioned about insurance. That was also started from the beginning, that you provide insurance for the workers? Or?
Yes, like compensation insurance.
Oh, I see. Buy as a group from the association, and then and then break in different markets.
And health insurance the same way.
So it's all from the association. I see. Well, so probably we, asked enough questions about the produce market, and that's very, very helpful. In terms of advance our knowledge. And now I have some other question about your personal, do you feel more Chinese or Americans or yourself? You were born here and...
Well, I imagine my ways are more American than Chinese.
Do you ever feel that you are Chinese? I mean, in a sense of a...
In certain things I do, in our way of eating, is more Chinese than anything else. Well, I'll say I picked out the best of both and put them together.
Great.
50-50.
Yeah, that's the way. I think that's why you're so successful. You can pick up
all the
good things. do you think you are typical among the Chinese, or you are somehow a little different from other Chinese?
Well, I think in my generation I'm typical.
So you're talking about eating habits as Chinese. How about when your family members that got sick or something, in the early days, you use Chinese herbs doctor, or you prefer American doctor?
Well, we prefer American doctors, but we still go back and say certain things. We would cook certain things to few lettuces on the lip or something like that, you would cook certain vegetables to fix to it.
Qingliang and
get cheese one way and another way.
And how about the herbs? I mean, is
you use
some herbs?
Yes.
And some special like bao zhai yu, you know, do you use those things?
Yu choy no, but I use that the other kind of herb to cook oxtails and stuff like that.
For example, like what, like dong gui or no? What sort of herbs?
Chicken,
kind of stuff. I see. Yeah, well, so actually you use some of the Chinese and you cook the food, use the Chinese herbs. Mm-hmm. So, other than Produce Association, did you join any other Chinese association?
Well, we're born into association.
Uh-huh.
The Wu family. Qingwuyuan.
Family
was born in that.
I see. And
we donate the dues to that, and we donate to any parties.
So every year you have to pay due, or?
Up to your X amount of age, to your certain age.
So you said you were born into the association. When did you start going to the meetings and all that, or pay the due, or banquets and? Even back to the 20s, your uncle start taking you to the banquets, or you?
Too long to remember.
Uh-huh.
Right after I come back from China, when I was 17, 18 years old, start doing that.
Really? That's quite early, huh?
Uh-huh.
So, and most, was this a Chen Wuyun, a very a large association, and in terms of the membership? So. Average, you know, I mean, every time you have meetings.
In the early days in Los Angeles, the Wongs were first, the Qingwuyuans the second, and the Liu's were third in the population. So it was pretty popular.
You talk about Liu is like
Lao Guan Jiao.
So it's a form family, it's even smaller than the Chen Yuan.
At that days it was smaller, but now it's bigger.
I see. So did you ever hold any office position in that family association? Or?
They always said my name was director.
Director, oh, well. So you were very active then.
Active in donating.
Oh, in donating. Well, that's very good. You're probably most welcome then over there. So besides the banquet, do you have like a New Year's banquet? And
I quit going again.
Uh-huh.
Reason why I am on a diet, so my diet. So, you know, fat, no sweets.
Uh-huh. The banquet is worst kind.
That's right.
So like in the early days, besides the social activities like banquet and all that, what did the family association do to the members? I mean, of course, like you are the big donors, and so you are not the ones among those who need help. And did the families association actually help those who needed help?
They were supposed to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think now they have a scholarship that they help.
So in the early days, they help in different ways, and whenever the members need help.
They did see that they got enough to eat anyway.
I see. Well, we were talking about the family association. The biggest one was the
Wongs.
Wongs, and can you name a couple of the most important families in Los Angeles? You know, in the early days. It doesn't really matter to you who were the important. So, which families that most people would refer to, all the time, the important people, or in the produce market, who were the most important besides yourself? And I'm sure that you are.
I wasn't the most important. I was way back, coming later days. like I was saying, Dan Louis Jr., Dr. Dan Louis Jr., his dad, his grandpa had this, the biggest store. His dad took over, and it's now Dr. Dan is a college graduate, and he's got the place over 9th Street. Him and his brother, they were one of the oldest ones. They continue on down. And they had David Moore, of course, before myself.
So these are the
oldest, more the older ones.
How about, did you ever heard about Louis Kwan?
Louis Kwan, yes. He was one of the old ones too.
Was the family still running the business or?
No, I don't think it was Louis Kwan.
He probably was one of the earliest among all the people that you mentioned.
He's the one that kind of started Ninth Street Market.
Oh, I see.
Of course, the Chinese were, but they started, they couldn't finish because that time we were second citizens. Gradually took over.
So when even he started, he couldn't maintain the, his leadership over there?
No, he couldn't.
And who would come in and also sort of take over, like Americans and?
Yes, Americans and Japanese take over.
But Japanese were also a minority. And
well, they had more push than the Chinese did.
Oh, they had more push, well, more always, aggressive.
Always did have more aggressive. Because they brought their families over, got married, and brought their friends, had more citizens in here. And our Chinese, was, what I said, was going back and spending money back here. So in them days, you couldn't do much without being a citizen.
Yeah, like your grandfather had a ranch. So before you started produce business, was any of your family member actually get involved into produce market? You know, like sort of buy some stock share, you know, with Dan, I mean, not Dan Louis, Louis Kwan and all these other people?
That was before my time.
So you wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
But do all you know is that you start a business here and none of the other family members started before you did.
Yes.
See,
I was what they call a C grade. I did my own and I didn't care what the Chinese did or whatever the other people
did. I see. So what kinds of job were most Chinese engaged in before the World War II besides in produce business?
The hand laundries.
Hand laundries. And so were there many hand laundries around here or were they all around in the Caucasian neighborhood? Of course, all one of your friends were, you know, dealing with the laundry business. He had his own business or what?
His own business, they would have. They had to have laundries all over where they could, residence a place where they could bring in, close to hotels, mostly. They had hand laundries and they had the restaurants. They still have a lot of restaurants, but at that time the restaurants were never big, they were all small. All small restaurants.
Did you ever compare with your friend who was running a laundry business? Which business is easier or which business is harder and to make more money?
No, we never did that. We would go out together, right?
But did you know, you know, like laundry businesses, you know, they work hard, I mean, longer hours or produce business, you require longer hours? And in terms of income, which one is... sort of
we never talked about money.
Never talk about money.
Some laundry people are very, very, very well. They have a lot of property. Some produce people have nothing too.
Yeah, so it all varies.
Individual.
Depends on the individual. And most likely the laundry business also needs very little capital to start with.
Yes.
And that's why Chinese went into it.
Or all you need was a couple of irons and rent, boards.
Uh-huh. Did your friend hire any helps?
In the laundry business?
Uh-huh.
That's when a lot of Chinese worked there.
Uh-huh.
One owner, two owners, and they'd have two or three other ones.
I see. And did he later get married or get married?
Oh, yes.
So the family would help also, huh?
Yes, yes. Like Don's kids all graduate from UCLA and SC.
Uh-huh, I see.
But they worked their way through it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we talk about laundry business. Was the restaurant business pretty...
It was very good, too, the restaurant. Mm-hmm. They would have small restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't have no elaborate room like they have now.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have it in little towns like Huntington Park, and
mm-hmm.
down in Watson, all over small suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And mama, dad, daughters would work it.
Mm-hmm. Grocery shop.
Mm-hmm.
How about grocery shop? I was talking about mama and dad.
They never did go in grocery much, but they did go in the produce then.
Mm-hmm.
The groceries at that time, the bigger stores would have different departments.
Mm-hmm.
They would have a vegetable department and a meat department
mm-hmm.
and a grocery department,
mm-hmm.
and they're all owned by different ones.
I see. So Chinese would take
the vegetables.
Produce.
Japanese and Chinese always had the produce part
uh-huh.
of it. Mom and papa stores, they used to see they could. And the Caucasians or Italians, whatever they were, took the
meat.
Grocery.
Grocery, uh-huh.
There was quite a few Chinese in meat, too.
Ah, I see. Well, the Chinese, was there any special thing about Chinese in meat market? Why there were quite a few Chinese in meat markets? Because they, do you know any of your friends in meat market business?
No, I don't.
Because I heard that the Chinese in meat market was quite successful. And probably it's a certain way they handle the business or it's hard working and long hours.
Hard working and long hours. They would go down to the slaughterhouses and pick up the odds and ends.
Mm-hmm.
Like the blood that some people use and tripe and stuff like that, which was given away
mm-hmm.
to the slaughterhouse, and they'd come back and clean it and sell it, and that would be real successful by that way.
And they would sell it to only Chinese, though?
Not only Chinese. The Mexicans would use it, the Filipinos
uh-huh.
would use it.
Uh-huh.
Like blood, the Filipinos use more blood than anybody else.
Uh-huh. But in the early days, they started that already.
Yes.
Yeah, and so those are the major business that Chinese would went into. So, what would have been considered an average income in the pre-war period? You talk about the produce is like $20 a week and or $25 a week. Was that better than other kind of job, or was that average income for most of the Chinese?
Average income for most of the people.
Uh-huh. Doesn't matter which business they're involved in. Uh-huh. Yeah. Did most of the Chinese live near around a Chinese neighborhood? Or, you know, when Chinese moved, they moved together? Or, I mean, in the produce business, they live around the produce market area, and which was also mixed neighborhood,
yeah.
You would say?
Mm-hmm. You would say, well, like laundry,
mm-hmm.
wherever they established a laundry,
they
always lived mostly in the back quarters.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So they'd be scattered too.
Uh-huh. So Chinese not necessarily stay with Chinese.
No.
It all depends on what business they
were
in. And yeah.
Same way with the Chinese, and which had the mama papa vegetable department.
Uh-huh.
They would live close to wherever they had.
Uh-huh.
But the Chinese peddlers peddled mostly lived up in Chinatown.
Those in the early days, I think in the 20s, probably there were not many Chinese peddlers anymore.
No, there was a lot of Chinese peddlers until Depression time, right after Depression, then they
disappeared.
They disappeared entirely.
Uh-huh. Did you deal with these Chinese peddlers, because they have to come here and buy the produce before they distribute it? Was that correct? Or
yes. Mm-hmm. Well, they, whatever they needed, if I had it, I would sell it to them.
Uh-huh.
It changed, the business changed so much. Early days, 99.5% was cash.
Uh-huh.
Now it reverses now. Uh-huh. Now I think it's 70% charge and 30% cash.
Uh-huh. And so these peddlers would come in like with trucks?
With the trucks, peddler trucks, and they would buy a box of this and a couple box of that and go out and go around the neighborhood and peddle.
Uh-huh.
They never had the supermarkets like they have here, see, nowadays. And they used to go door to door and
deliver,
and the people would give them orders.
Uh-huh. How about, were there any non-Chinese peddlers, vegetable peddlers that came over here?
Yes, there's still some now.
Mm-hmm. But in the early days, probably most of them were Chinese then.
Well, I'd say about a third of them were Chinese.
Uh-huh. Even then, I mean, like 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. right?
A third of them were, and then they had the Italian people and some Jewish people, uh-huh. some Mexican people, like they have now.
Uh-huh.
I don't see a Chinese.